If anybody wants to stand and stretch, I know sitting in those chairs for a long time, so if you want to stand up and stretch, feel free. I suppose, one might think that it would be pro forma to thank Joan and Jimmy and Don, but it's a lot of work. What they do is a lot of work. So I want to thank them because it's not easy. And I know the work that Joan does, putting these bio notes and stuff like that. But I also want to thank all of you for coming out to hear poetry. It's great to see you. I chose this folder carefully tonight to indicate that you have nothing to fear from me, that I'm just a real sweet guy. I'm going to start off with two poems that are so new that they're not even typed yet. The first one is dedicated to my friend, Stuart Shepherd. And the poem is entitled, My Friend Drives a Porch. My friend drives a porch. It's much slower than most of the other vehicles and must travel sideways because of its configuration. But it's so pleasant to sit on the porch swing and watch the scenery go by, all those cows. Thank you. Now, this next one is in 9 unnumbered parts. And what happened was I wrote this poem. It took me about 3 or 4 hours in bed with the cats, with the CDs playing and drinking my morning coffee. And by the time I pretty much finished it, I didn't have time to write it down. So I was afraid that I would lose the whole poem. So I wrote 9 clues. I'm going to read you the clues first, then I'll read you the poems. Here are the clues. Mrs. Woodyard, arson. Mrs. Fife, George. Mrs. Fife, laundry. Mr. Frederick, Bucky. Bucky, suit. Snow, tricycle. Sunny, darkness. So there's your clues. Now comes the poem. And since the parts are not numbered, I will just pause between the parts. And the poem is entitled Filbert Street. Mrs. Woodyard's house and yard were the cleanest, neatest on the block, a credit to its place. Her son was a member of the police department. He rose to be acting chief. The arsonist failed, so the bad boy's father came up from Florida and did the job himself. Mrs. Fife liked to reminisce about life in Scotland, how they washed their clothes in the river down below the houses. Her tenant, Raymond, another Scot, would say, Mrs. Fife, they have washing machines in Scotland now. Mrs. Fife moaned that her son George was too young to get married, a widow with 3 children. Raymond said, Mrs. Fife, George is 43 years old. Our landlord, Mr. Frederick, lived downstairs, a good old man with an ample lap. Paul named him Bucky. Bucky gave me a suit that had never been worn. The man had died. It was a double-breasted wool suit, blue with red pinstripes and 2 pair of trousers. When I took the trousers in to be altered, the tailor said, you couldn't buy wool like this today at any price. We were sitting on the front porch. A woman walked by with a white cat in her arms. Where are you going with that cat? Shelley shouted out. I'm taking it home, she said. No, you're not, Shelley said. That's our cat. Snow. 8. Paul liked hanging out with the firemen at the firehouse on the corner. When his tricycle was stolen, the fireman got him a new one. Paul was sunny, like Topsy or Huckleberry Finn. He just grew. Where's Naima in this poem? Even in her childhood, she was tinged with darkness. So there's the poem. There's a, thank you. There's a temptation to read the numbers. I read the number 8, not intending to, but you get carried away with that. So maybe I will number it eventually, who knows. My daughter Naima, who writes and publishes vampire fiction under the name Naima Haviland, claims that, this is in her bio, in her interview, she claims that when she was 4 years old, she asked for a can of blood for her birthday. That is not true. That is not true. She could be a little bit morbid and even when she was young, but she never asked for a can of blood. This poem is called The Box. Who was the boy in the box who got run over in the street? It wasn't Michael. I guess it's like Germany in the 30s. It's okay as long as it isn't you or me. Here's one of Ziggy's favorite poems. She's busy with her house. She bought a house. She's up to her tippy top and things to do. But anyway, the poem is called Wild Hair. And I think it was either in the Pittsburgh Poetry Review or in Upagus. But anyway, here it is. Things named become poems. Federal Street, East Ohio Street, the old Garden Theater. I enter the scene with my wild hair. Each street lamp globe is a moon. Let's put up decorations on those poles to delight the children. They'll think it's Christmas. There I am again on a corner, bowed in prayer, snow coming down, like a stage set in a movie. Leave me there. Do you think the children can be fooled so easily? Mark Goldman wrote a poem about some characters named Baba Louie and Madame Legal. And I just thought it was such a wonderful, so much fun. So I wrote another poem about the same characters. It's called Funhouse. I saw Baba Louie and Mark Goldman at the arcade. Whoever thought those two could get together? Mark with his niceness, the impudence of being earnest, and Baba Louie with his devil masks, making you think you're in the middle of a Tom Waits song. How can the virgins get to sleep at night when Baba Louie turns his red deck on? When Madame Legal talked with the spirits, was it really the spirits or Baba Louie from the next room? Thank you. Over the years, I've written a lot of poems about Bedford Square because I've lived there for a long time with a brief intermission of 5 or 7 years or so. So here's one called Spring, Bedford Square. White petals everywhere, they even dance in the air. The old people eat lunch in the market house. Cars roll, parked cars. Our new mayor worships the religion of bicycles. It's going to be ugly. Here's a poem called Sparta. And what you need to know, you learned very quickly. Sparta. We moved to Virginia at the turn of the year, 52-53. The left fork at Bowling Green leads to a bump in the road called Sparta. A general store, a post office, substation, a schoolhouse. We rented a big place on 40 acres, a quarter mile past the center of town. A circular driveway at blossom time, the house was hidden from the road by the magnolia trees. Two oil stoves and a wood stove for heat, outbuildings, a huge old gray barn. An older African-American couple lived in a small house on the property. In those days, they were called Negroes. The missus would chase her cow with a stick. I would toss my baseball up onto the barn roof and catch it coming down. Thank you. This one's called Something About a River Town, Clinton, Iowa. When I was small, we lived in the Worcester Building. The garbage man came twice a week. He was a Negro gentleman, always singing, smiling, always pleasant words for a little fellow like me. I wanted to be a garbage man when I grew up. He was the only adult I knew who was happy. This one's called Death and Burial. John and I were in Clinton to bury our mother's ashes. We stopped by the Worcester Building. The pool hall was closed. The owner had died and was being buried that day. This one's called After Burying Our Mother's Ashes. We drove back to Moline in a strange rain. Mexican food, then got very drunk in the lounge of the motel. John sang Wreck of the Old 97, and I recited several of my poems. A couple, they were all over each other, so in love. Their 25th wedding anniversary. I don't know if that comes across in the poem, but the thing that was astounding about this couple was that they looked like the kind of couple that probably had spouses they were cheating on. They were all over each other. And it turned out that they were not newly in love. They'd been together 25 years, and they were still at it. And I thought that was just so wonderful. When I got home, I bought them a subscription to the Millhunk Herald because they were working-type people. I'm going to read two more, one of my own and one of somebody else's. This one's called The Newtons of White Oak, Stafford County, Virginia. A family named Newton lived out in White Oak. They had colorful names like Catfish and Jaybird. I was in school with one of the sisters. Her name was Bertha. She wasn't pretty, but she had big headlights. The Newtons produced a local beverage called White Lightning. One day, a new U.S. attorney subpoenaed the Newtons, inviting them to come to town and explain themselves. On the appointed day at the appointed hour, a car rolled slowly by the courthouse. A bomb was thrown. The Newtons were never subpoenaed again. Thank you. Now, this last poem I'm going to read, there's a guy named Bill Porter who writes travel literature, and he's also known as Red Pine. And under the name Red Pine, he writes poetry and translates Chinese poets. And he went on a big trip by himself in China, visiting dozens of poets' graves and performing idiosyncratic rituals that featured Kentucky bourbon and reading poems aloud to the spirits. And they published this book with Copper Canyon, combining travelogue, translations, history, etc. And I'm going to read a poem which is titled From Day 7 at Two Moo's Grave. And I'm going to read it twice because I want you to take it with you. And this ties in with a lot of some of the things that Jimmy's been saying. From Day 7 at Two Moo's Grave. The graves of the poets I'd been visiting were so different. Some were simple, some palatial. Some had been plowed under by farmers, and others had been reduced to trash pits. Their poems, though, had survived. They were still fresh in the minds of cigar-smoking farmers who most likely had never attended high school. The same couldn't be said for the pronouncements of the high and mighty. Poetry is transcendent. We carry it in our hearts and find it there when we have forgotten everything else. I'm going to read that a second time. The graves of the poets I'd been visiting were so different. Some were simple, some palatial. Some had been plowed under by farmers, and others had been reduced to trash pits. Their poems, though, had survived. They were still fresh in the minds of cigar-smoking farmers who most likely never attended high school. The same couldn't be said for the pronouncements of the high and mighty. Poetry is transcendent. We carry it in our hearts and find it there when we have forgotten everything else. Thank you so much. God bless. Joan mentioned I have books for sale. They're over there on the table to my left. They're usually 8, 13, and 14, but for tonight, there'll be 5, 10, and 10.